بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد، يقول الله عز وجل في كتابه المجيد: قل إنما أنا بشر مثلكم يوحى إلي أنما إلهكم إله واحد، فمن كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. صدق الله العظيم. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إنما الأعمال بالنيات وإنما لكل امرئ ما نوى. صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم. Respected brothers, sisters and listeners, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the last ayah of Surah Al-Kahf, a very important ayah, which at its face value, it does not demonstrate the theme that I would like to discuss today. But after further examining it through the hadith, you will see how. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ. Say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the kuffar, that you, أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, that I am a man just like you. But the only difference between you and I is, يُوحَى إِلَيَّ أَنَّمَا إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. It was revealed to me that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one Lord. إِلَهُكُمْ إِلَهٌ وَاحِدٌ. So, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ. So, whoever hopes to لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ, to meet his Lord, لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا, then he should do righteous actions. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا, and not prescribe anything with the worship of his Lord. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا, nothing should be prescribed to the worship of his Lord. So this hadith mentioned regarding this ayah, once a sahabi radiallahu anhu came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that, you know, I love praying salah, and I get very happy when someone praises me when I do pray salah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only likes actions that are done for him. And then he quoted this very ayah. فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. So this shows that this ayah, this وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا, it has a deeper meaning than just what the face value tells us. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, face value tells us that shirk is not accepted in his sight. Right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَغْفِرُ أَن يُشْرَكَ بِهِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not forgive the act of shirk, prescribing partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? This is what the mushrikeen used to do. They used to prescribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not alone, meaning he has a partner. Right? We say, قُلْ هُوَ اللَّهُ أَحَدْ اللَّهُ الصَّمَدْ لَمْ يَلِدْ وَلَمْ يُولَدْ وَلَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ كُفُوًا أَحَدْ. This is Suratul Ikhlas. But over here, the actual meaning that is intended with this shirk is, see, there are two types of shirk. The first one is called shirk jali, which means the higher form of shirk, that which is shown, that which is apparent, that which is the higher form, shirk akbar, right? And this one is the one that we all know. This is what we call prescribing physically partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's a second type of shirk, which is known as shirk asghar, or also shirk khafi, right? That shirk which is not seen, it's hidden. And this is one of the spiritual diseases that many of the scholars, the mashayikh of the past, have discussed in various books. This disease of the heart is known as riya. Riya is loosely translated as showing off, doing something not for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. See, the reason why this is called shirk is because the moment you do an action other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's as if that other thing has become your Lord. Because you're doing your actions for that specific object or that specific person or that specific thing now, right? If I were to pray, right, and then someone walks in and then I immediately start reciting more beautiful than I was before possibly. And then the person leaves and then I'm like, no one's here anymore. I can calm down, right? Then I know right then and there that it wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right when that person walked in, I decided to raise my voice a little higher. You know, make my pitch go up and down a little more. And this shows me that there is a disease in my heart known as riya, showing off, because I'm not doing it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala anymore. And I'm doing it for that one object or thing that came in. Right? There was actually an incident in the past where someone was praying, and then I believe it's in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this person was praying, and he heard someone coming inside the masjid. And then he thought that, oh, it might be someone that can overhear me reading Qur'an. So he immediately started raising his voice and reading louder and reading more beautiful. And, you know, making his voice go up and down a little more. Right? And then After he was done, he turned around. It was only a dog. It was only a dog that walked in, and then the dog left. So that immediately showed this person that, you know, this wasn't for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to in this ayah. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And this goes to one of our core fundamental foundations of Islam. Right? The first hadith that almost Imam Bukhari rahimahullah mentioned in his book, the first hadith he mentioned, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, that every action is based upon its specific intention. Imam Bukhari rahimahullah placed this hadith in the beginning for a reason. The same hadith goes with Arba'in al-Nawawi. Imam Nawawi rahimahullah, his 40 ahadith compilation, also in Riyadh al-Salihin, many books of hadith, they always mention this hadith first, that every action is based upon its intention. Why? Because if an action is not done for the sole intention and purpose for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then that action is not accepted in His sight. It's not accepted in His sight at all. See, one time, there'll come a time in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Day of Judgment, when three types of people will be brought. Right? There will be an alim that will be brought, a person who fought in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a person who gave in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, excessively. They did as much as they can. Right? And each one will be brought forth. The alim will be brought forth, the person who is knowledgeable. He will be brought forth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, what have you done for me? And this alim will say, you know, I've traveled all across the world. I've imparted whatever knowledge I can to everyone, every community. I've taught, you know, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمُ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَ. Not only did I learn, but I also taught. Right? Not only did I go far and wide, but I taught everyone in my locality also. I did everything I can. Right? And I strove in your path for learning. 10 years, 20 years. I constantly was in the path of learning. I did it all for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, no, you didn't do this for me. You did this so you will get fame and name and fame in this world. That's all you did it for. So now it will be instructed by the angels that take this person head first and throw him into Jahannam. Because he did not do this for me. He did not do this for me. In Surah Al-Kahf, in the last ruku', it says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, shall I inform you who is the one that is the most lost? بِالْأَخْسَرِينَ أَعْمَالًا. Who is the most lost in terms of their deeds? Those who think that they were actually doing something for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while they actually weren't doing anything. Because when they come towards their actions, they'll realize it's just dust. You know, when dust, when you collect dust and you go towards it and you just blow a little bit, everything just scatters. That's how their actions are. Their actions just scatter, meaning they're worthless in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they were not done for him. So the alim will come and then he's thrown headfirst into Jahannam. The next person will come, the mujahid. This person fought in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This person did everything he could for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He strove, he fought, he warded off the enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say that you did not do this for me. You did this for the world. You did this for name. You did this for fame. You did this so people will look up to you. You did this so people will recognize you. You did this so you will get a sort of title, some prestige in this world. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, to instruct the angels to take this person head first and throw him into Jahannam. The next person will come. The person who gave in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who literally his whole wealth was for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The person who said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ اشْتَرَى مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ أَنفُسَهُمْ وَأَمْوَالَهُمْ بِأَنَّ لَهُمُ الْجَنَّةِ. He literally said that, my wealth, you already purchased my wealth. My wealth is already for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he gave everything for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and then he'll come in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask him, why did you do this? And he said, who did you do it for? He said, this is exactly what I did it for. I did it for you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only knows the transgression of the eyes, He also knows that which is hidden deep inside of our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows the intentions. He knows the seed that is planted for every single tree. Meaning He knows the intention that is used for the tree of action to be planted. He knows. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say that to instruct the angels to take this person head first and throw him into the fire. Because these people did not do this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what you call shirk khafi. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very, very scared of this specific type of shirk. He said that there will come a time that my nation will be involved in shirk. The sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in asked him, he said, is someone actually going to prescribe partners to you? Is this actually going to happen? Because he thought it was so absurd, so blasphemous for someone even to think about doing something like this. Right? It said in Surah Al-Maryam towards the end that the earth should literally split. The skies should literally fall apart for just the action of committing shirk. It says in the end. But the Prophet ﷺ said that the specific shirk I'm very worried about is shirk asghar, meaning the shirk khafi, that my ummah will fall into this sin. That they will soon, slowly not do the actions for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but they will start doing the actions for others. That's why always Imam, many muhaddithin, many people who compiled hadith in the past, they always put this hadith in first. Innamal a'malu binniyat. Because it is our job, before doing any type of actions, ask yourself three things. Rather, set yourself three checkpoints. Three checkpoints. This is what the mashayikh in the past have told us to do. Set three checkpoints for yourself. Again, it's just like tawbah, past, present, future. For an action, set your checkpoints for before the action, during the action, and after the action. Set these three checkpoints in terms of your intention. Before you begin an action, any type of action, whether you're putting a dollar for sadaqah, right? Whether you're smiling for someone, whether you're about to begin your nafl salah, whether you're about to begin your salatul awabin or salatul tahajjud, salatul duha, ishraq, whatever it is, you're beginning any type of good deed for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask yourself before you begin and rectify your intention. Who am I doing this for? Am I doing this so I will get some name? Am I doing this so the neighbor might possibly glance through my window and notice that maybe I'm a pious person and I'll get some rank in his eyes? Why am I doing this? So ask yourself before the action and rectify it and say, I'm doing this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm doing this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. During the action, shaitan will come to you. Shaitan will try to deter your intentions. Tell you that, no, the person's watching, let's do a little better. No, the person's not watching anymore, you can relax a little bit. So rectify your intention during the action also, that this is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then your job is not done, because even after the action, it's possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will render the whole action completely useless. Because right after the action, you start saying to other people that, you know what, I didn't get any sleep last night. Why? Because I was up for 3 hours just doing tahajjud. I was reading Quran for 4 hours. I read a whole Quran today. The action is done. But even then, the whole action is rendered useless already. Because now you're trying to show off to other people that, what did you do? I did this.
Yeah,
what did you?
I have a question, okay? And that's about Riya. And that's a good question you have raised up. In the common practice, like in Jummah prayer, when you're giving khutbah, and some people come late, you already have said something very important, and you want to repeat it loudly. Everybody can hear. In that, the intention is from your heart to listen to people, can listen to what you have said. It also become a riya.
No, that's again, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows what your
right.
intention is.
I'm saying right.
Yeah, but
sometimes we do speak loudly, people can hear, and they can listen and learn.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That should
that's,
be okay.
That's definitely one of the etiquettes of khutbah, actually, is that you should try to say your khutbah and towards the end always recap everything that you say. So even the people that, maybe they weren't able to come in the beginning and towards the end. Inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept whatever intention, whatever effort that you put in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will accept. One last quote that I would like to say before I end this talk is that the mashayikh of the past have mentioned that annasu kulluhum halikun illa al-alimun. This is it's a very morbid statement. It starts very, very harshly. That the mashayikh say that all types of people are completely, utterly destroyed. And then he makes an exception, an istithna. النَّاسُ كُلُّهُمْ هَالِكُونَ إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. That everyone is destroyed except those who have some knowledge. Because if you have no knowledge regarding anything, then that is not an excuse in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have to always continuously strive and seek knowledge. طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ. That seeking knowledge is mandatory upon every Muslim. In another narration, it says, طَلَبُ الْعِلْمِ فَرِيضَةٌ عَلَى كُلِّ مُسْلِمٍ وَمُسْلِمَةٍ. Even Muslim men and Muslim females specifically specified. But a Muslim in itself is very general. It refers to all of mankind. So, النَّاسُ كُلُّهُمْ هَارِكُونَ إِلَّا الْعَالِمُونَ. That everyone is in utter destruction except those who know. But then the saying goes on, and it says, الْعَالِمُونَ كُلُّهُمْ هَارِكُونَ. That you have knowledge, but you're still destroyed. الْعَالِمُونَ كُلُّهُمْ هَارِكُونَ إِلَّا الْعَامِلُونَ. That you may have knowledge, but if you don't act upon the knowledge that you have learned, then that knowledge, it will be a proof against you on the day of Qiyamah. But then the saying goes that al-amiluna kulluhum halikum. And now everyone who got knowledge, who received knowledge, who went out and sought knowledge and practiced upon that knowledge, even they are in utter destruction. العاملون كلهم هالكون إلا المخلصون. That you sought the knowledge, you did the action, but if you have no ikhlas, right, no sincerity, no intention for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the actions are rendered completely useless again. And المخلصون على خطر عظيم. And the people who do have ikhlas on the actions based on their knowledge, they are on a very, very edgy slope. You know, that peak of a mountain, you're about to fall, but you're not about to fall, you're over there. Because it's possible your intentions waver so much. They go from this side to this side, from this side to this side. That's why we always have to keep ourselves in check. Always keep ourselves in check. Before the action, during the action, and after the action. This is the easy recipe for, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepting all of our actions. And inshallah, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُو لِقَاءَ رَبِّي. On that day, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless us with His ru'ya, will bless us with His sight, like we need to make sure that all our actions are done solely for Him. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us ikhlas in all our actions and make Suratul Ikhlas a living reality in our hearts. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to gather us in a better gathering in hereafter. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه هو الغفور الرحيم.